Levels of peace. In the midst of a troubled world, peace is a precious thing. Let's begin by thinking about Jesus Christ, the man of peace. Long time ago in history, in the book of Genesis, Jacob, the father, is about to go, and he calls his 12 sons around his deathbed, and he blesses each son, and in some cases makes prophecies. When he comes to his son Judah, his fourthborn son, but the one from whom Jesus would come in that lineage of the tribe of Judah would come Jesus. And Jacob, when he's speaking to Judah, his son, he says these words, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Wonderful prophecy. The scepter, that's what the king holds, going to come from you, Judah. And the lawgiver, that's not Moses, I don't think. That's the one on the mountain that was talking to Moses on that fiery mountain, Jesus Christ. The lawgiver, a scepter from your family, Judah. Until Shiloh come. The word Shiloh means tranquil, peaceful. The man of peace to come from you. And all the people will be gathered to him. Here 2,000 years later, we are still gathering to him in a place like this. What a prophecy. It's been fulfilled. Places like that, and there's lots of them in God's word, just prove to me that the word is true. But the man of peace, Jesus Christ, another prophecy in the book of Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son, the Son of God, is given. The Prince of Peace. Peace, that's who he is. The angel would proclaim at the time of his birth, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And Simeon, that old man who would hold Jesus in his arms, he'd say these words, "Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Holding Jesus in his arms, he's seeing God's salvation who's coming to this world. And he's able, seeing and knowing who Jesus is, to be ready to depart in peace. Not worried about dying. He's ready to go. He's seen his Savior. Peace. He's the man of peace, the Prince of Peace. The Bible calls him the King of Peace. Shiloh, tranquil. And when we know him, we can have peace like Simeon. We can live in peace. We can depart in peace. What a wonderful thing peace is. You know what Zacharias, John the Baptist, the preacher's father, said about that preacher? Said he was to guide our feet to the way of peace. That's my job as the preacher, to guide your feet, your thoughts, your mind, your situation to a way of peace. If I can do that this morning, give you some peace in a troubled world, then that's what I'm to do. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Guide your feet to the way of peace, to the man of peace, Jesus Christ. 5 levels of peace. Now, the Bible doesn't divide it up this way. But I've thought about it this way through the years, and I think it's a way to think about peace and different levels of peace that are available. The first level of peace, when peace like a river attendeth my way. The song that we sang this morning, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Stuart Hine wrote those words, kind of translated from Carl Boberg of Sweden, from Sweden. But the idea of looking out off of a mountain and seeing the landscape and such a peaceful thought. I think about a sunset in the ocean, standing on the beach. I think about a campfire. There's something about a campfire that just captures me. Maybe I'm not an arsonist. I don't know why the fire seems so pretty to me, but so peaceful to stand there and stick another stick on the fire and watch it burn on a nice, crisp fall morning. That just is peaceful to me. How about holding a grandbaby in your arms? That kind of brings you a different kind of feeling, doesn't it? I see a grandma and a grandgirl looking at each other back there. That's peace, isn't it? That's the world's kind of peace, and it's a great thing to have. But it's bottom level, really, compared to other kinds of peace. I can remember my son and I, he was probably a senior in high school, and we began to backpack together. And that's pretty good to have a connection with your son when he's about to outgrown dad, you know. But we'd go out, and the old man would wake up early, 4 daylight, and he's still in there snoring. But I'd slip out of my little tent, and I'd sit there and watch the woods come awake in the morning. Hear the first song of praise from a bird. See the sky turning light in the east. Maybe a gentle breeze. And I can just almost think about it now, and those thoughts come back to me. When peace like a river attendeth my way. That's level one peace. Just kind of somewhere between an awe and a fascination and a wonder about creation and life. And when things are going good. When things are going good is when you have that. But what about when sorrows like sea billows roll? That's not a good day. You see, those lines come from a song by Horatio Spafford. When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You probably know the story, but let me share my version of Horatio Spafford's story. He and his wife had 4 daughters, and they were planning a trip to England. Something came up at the last minute. He wasn't able to go. He was going to delay his departure for a couple of days, but they already had the tickets, and the mom and the 4 girls get on the boat heading across the Atlantic, and the boat sinks. And he receives a telegram from England from his wife, 2 words, saved alone, by himself. In America, his wife by herself in England, and the 4 daughters at the bottom of the ocean. He books passage quickly and heads over, and on the ship, on the way across, he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Can you imagine him somewhere out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? I can picture him on that rail of that boat, looking out across that ocean, and those sea billows, those waves pounding on the side of the ship, like the sorrows are pounding upon his heart. And he pens the words, when peace like a river attendeth my way. This wasn't a peace like a river day. Or when sorrows like sea billows roll. This was a sea billow sorrow day, pounding upon his heart. But then he says, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. On the inside, deep down there somewhere, wherever soul is and whatever soul is, at that spot that God touches, it's still okay there. That's something good to have deep inside of you. It's something God gives his children. That somewhere deep in your soul, you can still experience peace in the midst of the most troubled times in this world. I'm going to call that level 2 peace. Level 2 peace. Peace that you can have even in the midst of the world's troubles. Does the Bible teach this? It sure does. Philippians chapter 4, an amazing passage of scripture to me. Paul writes a letter to this church at Philippi, and the central theme of that letter is joy and rejoicing. And he comes here toward the end of the letter, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, all the time, continually, And again, I say rejoice, emphasizing it, saying it again, saying always you can rejoice in the Lord. Now, maybe you can't rejoice in the losing of the four daughters, but even in the midst of that, you can still rejoice in the Lord. Someday he's going to see those little girls again. You can joy in that. There's always something. We can find blessings and count blessings in the midst of the most troubled day. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The passage continues there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word moderation, it's not exactly the way we use the word these days. In 1611, and you can still look up the word, and you can look up the Greek word it was translated from. It doesn't mean middle of the road or straddling the fence or some kind of political stance that you've taken to be a moderate. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The best common term I could think of to try to define moderation is an even keel. An even keel, an appropriate gentleness. I found that definition. What would be an appropriate reaction for a person who believes in Jesus Christ, that he's still got me, that he's holding me, that nothing's too hard for the Lord, that he's on his throne, he's in charge, he still loves me? Some kind of gentle attitude that would be appropriate to one that knows those kind of things. A sweet reasonableness. That's a strange definition, but I found that one. Some kind of sweetness that you still have, some kind of gentleness, some kind of something that would make you act different to the way the other guy out there would act under such circumstances. Let that kind of even keel, let that kind of being stable in the midst of the troubles be seen by people around you. How can we maintain that? It's not just being stoic and tough and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and being a red-blooded American. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a Christian who knows Christ and that he's got us and holding us. And something about that is soothing. And something about that brings me to I say, what would be reasonable for me? Well, I'm not going to blow up. I'm not going to fall apart. And I know we sometimes fall apart and... But still, this is the right response if you're thinking about the Lord. If you're understanding who you are and what you are and he's got you, then there's some kind of gentle, appropriate response that could be seen from you that would be different to the world. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. If something's at hand, you can get a hold of it. You can reach it with your hand and take it. The Lord's that close. The Lord is at hand. And the next verse says this, be careful for nothing. That's a strong statement. That doesn't mean be careless about everything. The word careful, full of cares. Don't be full of cares about anything. Don't let it overwhelm you. Stay on that even keel. You're still on the high road with Jesus. Be careful for nothing. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say when they're facing the fire and about to go in? They say, O king, we be not careful to answer this. Answer thee in this thing. We're not full of cares. They're facing the fire, but they're not full of cares. Boy, that's what we're after. That's what we'd like to have. This is level 2 peace. That in the midst of this, I could still have peace. I could still not let the cares overwhelm me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. With prayer and supplication, the Lord's at hand. He's within reach. Talk to him. He's real. He'll hear you. Sometimes you don't hear an answer back, but just know he hears you and he knows what you're feeling, how you're feeling, and how it feels to feel it. He's been here. He knows sorrow. He knows sadness. He knows struggles. He knows what it is to be weary of life. Those things are in the scriptures. That he knows how you feel and you can talk to him. Let your request be made known unto God. Talk to God about it. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. A peace of God that passes understanding. Would you say that maybe what Spafford had? Would you think a man's absolutely lost his mind or has something the rest of the world doesn't have, when he can face that situation and look at those sea billows rolling and pounding upon the ship and the sorrows pounding upon his heart, and he can still say, it is well with my soul. I'm okay with this. That's past understanding. That's past explanation. That's past anything the world can give you. But it'd be pretty nice to have, wouldn't it? It's yours, friends. It's level 2 peace that God gives to his children. That no matter what the circumstances, it can still be okay inside your soul. When you're rejoicing in the Lord, always, a peace that passes understanding can take a hold of you. I've sensed this a time or two in my life. I've never lost 4 girls at once. But we've all had some sad situations. And sometimes you can just, as Peter says, in the midst of the fire, get that joy unspeakable. Something that comes that you can't explain. You couldn't put it in words. It's past our finding out. It's past our understanding. But it's real. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not real or that it's not available. A peace that passes understanding, a rejoicing always, the idea it is well with my soul, even in the midst of the loss of those 4 girls. Jesus, in the last sermon he preached, I think it's kind of the centerpiece of that sermon. He talks about peace that's available to us. He begins that sermon in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Well, that's where we are in this world, isn't it? It's mighty easy to have a troubled heart. Instead of it is well with my soul, some days we have troubled hearts. Lots of times we have that. Let not your heart be troubled, said Jesus. Don't let that happen. Well, how do I keep it from happening, Lord? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's something about believing in Jesus, the one who was here, who's been through what you've been through and knows what you're going through. Believe in him. Really believe in him. Don't just intellectually make an admission that he's real. Believe in him to the point that he becomes a part of your life with you, that he's walking with you and feeling what you're feeling with you as you feel it. That his heart is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. That's weakness, is what that word infirmities means. When you're at that hopeless, helpless state of mind, he knows how you feel, and he's with you at that point. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Jesus. He comes back and says that again later in the sermon. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm giving you something the world can't give you. I'm giving you something the world doesn't know anything about. Romans chapter 3 says, the way of peace they have not known. You have something the world doesn't have. You have a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That fruit of the Spirit, peace, God gives it to you, and it's real, and you can use it. It's a crutch to lean on. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It's not something the world can give you, but I give it to you so your heart won't be troubled or afraid. And he closes out that sermon in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. That whole sermon, John 14, 15, 16, it's a little different sermon than what we're accustomed to. Sometimes they interrupt him and ask a question, but it's sort of a dialogue. A good bit of it's just him talking. But that last time he's with his closest friends, right before his crucifixion, he gives them these words of peace. He knows their hearts are going to be troubled. But they can still have peace in the midst of that trouble. These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. I want to clue you in on something if you hadn't already figured it out. Coming to Jesus doesn't make all the troubles go away. Some people promise you that, but that's not what the Bible promises. That's not what Jesus promised. Jesus said, in this world you will have the tribulations. You're stuck as a stranger and a pilgrim in a sin-cursed world with Satan going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's not much here that's really worth having. I shouldn't say it that way. I've got a great family. I've got you folks that come and worship with me. There's good things about this world that God gives us. But bottom line is, it's a sin-cursed world that we're stuck in. In this world, you will have the tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. 1 John chapter 4, but chapter 5, verse 4. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth in Jesus Christ. He's given you peace in the midst of troubles, a peace that can pass understanding, a peace that's unexplainable, a peace that's not from this world, but for you while you're in this world. In this world, you'll have the tribulations, but in this world, there's level 2 peace that God gives his children. Lean on Jesus. When sorrows like sea billows roll, let it still be well in your soul. Level 3 peace. We make a quantum leap here. Thus far, we've talked about peace on earth, like a gentle flowing river, like a campfire, like a morning in the woods. And then we've got this other kind of peace that's far superior to that, that in the midst of the troubles, you can still have a peace. But that's still something you experience in this world, and that's great. Don't take my walks in the woods away from me. I need those. And my goodness, don't take the peace that passes understanding away from me when I need that, and I need it pretty regular, and I know you do too. Those are great, but the peace we're going to talk about now is a peace in God's mind, a peace in heaven, where God is at peace. You know, you may have the wrong impression about God. He's not a jolly, happy Santa Claus up there. And he's not Grandpa. Let me tell you a side of God you may not think about often, and I don't like to think about it either, but it's real. And if you don't know this side, you won't appreciate what Jesus has done for us. You know who God is? He's the enemy of sin. And without Jesus Christ, he's the enemy of sinners. Now, how would you like to have the most powerful being in all creation, in all the universe? Would you like him to be on your side or against you? Are you with me or against me? The fella asked me one day. Well, if I ask God that question, I sure want him to be with me and not against me. But by nature, when man fell in sin, God's way over here somewhere, and his enemy, the sinners, are way over here somewhere, far separated from each other. There's a lot in the Bible that would explain that, and we could go through and probably preach the whole sermon on this, but I just want to hit some places here and let you know that the wrath of God is against sin and sinners without Jesus Christ. If you don't realize how big the sin problem is, you won't realize what a big Savior Jesus is for us. God is at enmity against sin. Jeremiah 6:14. The prophets in that day were false, being false prophets and saying false things to the people. And here's what God said they're saying. They're saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's kind of like painting God as to be some fluffy teddy bear up there that just loves you. And he doesn't care what you do. And everything's okay. And that's peace, peace, when there is no peace. In the same time in history, Jeremiah, Lamentations, the same man wrote both books. Lamentation 2:5, the Lord was as an enemy. That's God and God's wrath against sin and sinners. It's not peace, peace. There is no peace without Jesus Christ, even with a good God. The good God can't ignore sin. He's a good judge, a proper judge, a righteous judge, and every sin has to be paid for. And the Lord is as an enemy without Jesus Christ. Romans 1:18. Let's go to the New Testament. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Anybody here ever done anything unrighteous? Not the right thing to do at the moment? The wrath of God's against that. And one who would do that. It goes on in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. If you think you're not included in this, those that deserve the wrath of God, you're missing the point. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wrath of God's against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. Let's read a couple of scary places. Jude 1:14. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Anybody ever acted ungodly besides me? Ever have ungodly thoughts or ungodly moments or say ungodly things? Do ungodly things? Things God wouldn't approve of? There's a wrath, for everybody's included in that, and there's none righteous, there's none godly. At the final judgment, we have these words, Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? At some point, God's judgment comes down upon those that Jesus hadn't paid for. And it's eternal enmity, separation from God forever. Now then, I maybe spent too long painting that dark picture. But the darker you can see that picture, the brighter you're going to see your Savior, Jesus Christ. If God's at enmity, is there any way we could have him be at peace with us? That's the ultimate question. There's two kind of umbrella things that Jesus accomplished. There's things under these two things. One is justification. That's the sin being gone and God be able to, as a righteous judge, declare you innocent. And the other is reconciliation. That's to have those two that were enemies be at peace again. Jesus took care of both those umbrella terms, justification and reconciliation. Jesus has made peace between God and his children. Without him, there's no such thing as peace. You might say peace, peace, but there is no peace without Jesus Christ. We are as enemies without him, but through him, we are eternally reconciled to God. That's glorious, my friends. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, there it is, that's who we are without Christ. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. Wow. That's the story of what Jesus has done. While we're enemies, not seeking God, there's nothing we can do. But while we're in that state, Jesus comes and reconciles God to us. And God looks upon us now not with that enmity and that hatred of sin. Jesus has purified us where God looks upon us and smiles. And God's pleased with you. That's a sweet thought to me, that God is not my enemy. He's my best friend. Your best friend dies for you. I don't know if I've got any of those besides Jesus, but he did it. And in doing that, God looked upon the suffering of Jesus' soul. It says in Isaiah 53 that God looked upon that suffering soul of Jesus and God got satisfied. If God's satisfied with you, that's good enough. He's not satisfied with you because of who you are in and of yourself. He's satisfied with you because of what Jesus has done for you. He made the peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the peacemaker. He's your ticket to glory. He became flesh for the purpose of dying. He was our high priest that would stand between us and God. He was the priest, but he's also the sacrificial lamb of God that would take away our sins. And he stood in our place, and God satisfied with him, and God satisfied with you, and you're at peace with God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18. God hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. The peace is made. Where in God's mind, he's now your friend and not your enemy. In God's mind, the reconciliation has happened and God's satisfied and God's at peace with you forever and you shall be saved. We were his enemies, but Christ died for us and now we shall be saved. That's eternal security. That's a God that's smiling and not frowning. That's the work of Jesus Christ to take away that enmity and bring reconciliation, then to make the peace. That's level 3 peace. And that's probably the most wonderful of the levels, is that God's at peace with sinners. The next two will result from that. The first two were inferior to that because they happened on the earth in your mind. This happened in heaven in God's mind. That God hath reconciled us, past tense, to himself by Jesus Christ. And God's satisfied and God's at peace. He's got full peace of mind about the whole situation, about your eternity. Level 4 peace. Level 4 peace is back to your mind. But it's based on what's in God's mind. Follow me now. God knows he's at peace towards you. But do you know you're at peace toward God? Do you feel the same thing he feels about this peace thing? Level 4 peace is when you can have peace of mind like God already has. How do you have that? When you come to know what God already knows, then you can have the peace of mind that God already has. What does the gospel do? It guides your feet to the way of peace. Who's the way of peace? Jesus Christ. When I tell you that Jesus has secured your salvation, that God's at peace with you and you shall be saved, God knows that. It's past tense. Jesus has accomplished that, and God knows that, and there's nothing can get you out of God's heaven or out of Jesus' hand, and God's at peace with you. But you know what the gospel does? It proclaims that to you. It tells you that story so you can have peace of mind about your eternal existence. God's happy with it. But we may yet not understand it. We may yet not know it. Now, the gospel's not what gets you to heaven. But the gospel's what lets you know you're going. Jesus made the peace, whether you know it or not. You not knowing history doesn't change history. What Jesus did, he's done, and God was satisfied he said he was. And we've been justified and reconciled. And that's already happened, whether you know it or not. But when I tell you, or when a preacher tells a group of people, or when through the ages it's been passed down from faith to faith, in that you become at peace in your mind. Let's look at the rest of a passage here. We told you these words, 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. That part's finished. God has reconciled us to himself by the work of Jesus Christ. But the passage goes on here. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the work the preacher has. That's John the Baptist, the preacher, to guide your feet to the way of peace. God's at peace, and my job is to tell you about the peace that God's at. How he looks at you, and how he looks at his salvation, and how salvation happens, and the good news that it's all by the power of God. So I have the ministry of reconciliation. My ministry is to proclaim these things to you, not to get you to heaven. To get you understanding you're going. The peace is already in God's mind, whether I preach it or not, whether you hear it or not. But once I preach it to you and you hear it, then you can become at peace in your mind about heaven. That Christ is going to get you there. That he's already got you there. That it's a done deal. It's finished. It's past tense. It's accomplished. Given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, to proclaim that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ. He's reconciled. That part's done. I'm telling you that part is already finished this morning. That's my job, to be a ministry of reconciliation, to tell you these things. That God was in Christ reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Those sins that God hated, and the sinners without the blood of Jesus Christ that God would hate and cast from him for eternity. He's taking those trespasses away, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The job of the preacher is the ministry of reconciliation. The job of the preacher is the word of reconciliation, to preach the word. Now, the work of reconciliation, Jesus has already accomplished. That's past tense. My job, my work, is to take this word, this proclamation of reconciliation, this peace that God has towards you through Jesus Christ, and tell you about it so you'll know it. And what happens when you come to know it? Well, you can have some peace like God already has, when you know what God already knows. So then, he's committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if we're the messenger for Christ, to proclaim these things to you, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's level 4 peace. At level three, God's reconciled to you. Because God sees the work of Jesus Christ, knows it's finished, it's accomplished, it's done, and God's happy and satisfied. When through the proclamation of the gospel, you can know what God already knows, when you can see what God already sees, when you through the gift of faith can see Jesus on that cross dying for you and know that's all it takes, that he's done it all, that salvation is through him and you shall be saved. Being justified by his blood, you shall be saved. Though we were enemies, being reconciled, you shall be saved. When you come to be sure about it like God's sure about it, boy, this is the peace that passes understanding. That level two peace that passes understanding gets you through the troubles of this world. This level four peace gets you to understand you're going to heaven one day. You're going to heaven one day. That's peace. That's the ultimate peace that you can have in this world. That's better than peace in the sea billow sorrow day, to know that you're going to heaven and nothing can stop that, that nobody can pluck you out of Jesus' hands, that nothing can separate you from the love of God, that he that's begun a good work in you, he'll see it through to the coming of Jesus Christ. Heaven's waiting, my friends. Thanks to Jesus Christ. When you can understand that, you can have peace in your mind about dying. You can have peace in your mind about facing God someday. You can know that God's at peace with you, and there's something about that that you can be reconciled now to God. God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So be ye reconciled to God. That's two different kinds of peace. Two different reconciliations, one in the mind of God and one in your mind when you come to know the mind of God as he looks at you. That's over the top as far as giving you some peace and trouble, no matter what happens. No matter if you can't find peace on that troubled day, you can still know that someday you're going to be in glory thanks to Jesus Christ. And that's peace that rises above the world's peace. You're still in the world. It's not hardly what you know in the peace that God has what give you this level four peace. But without knowing that, you can't have this. So level four peace. What about Spafford? Let's think back about him just a little bit. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's level one and level two. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I'll bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. That's level three peace. My sin nailed to the cross of Christ, and I'll bear it no more, and God is satisfied with Christ, and God is satisfied with a sinner like me, thanks to the work of Jesus Christ. He's at peace with me. Level four peace. There's a line in that song, let this blessed assurance control. The assurance that you're going to glory. The assurance that God is reconciled to you. The assurance that God looks at you and his mind's at peace concerning your eternal status. Let that control your thinking now. And that brings us to level four peace. That what you know about level three peace can give you level four peace, and that can begin to control your entire thinking. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to glory. I'm not trusting in me to get me there. I'm just knowing what God's word says that Jesus is going to get me there. If I'm in the plan somewhere, that's a weak link. If Jesus just does it all, I can lean on that. I can count on that. I can be sure about that. And that's peace, real peace. Level five peace. Lord, haste the day when the faith will be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, and the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so. That's going to be well with my soul. Level five peace is peace forevermore. Level five peace is the peace you'll have in glory. Level five peace is when God wipes all those tears from your eyes, and there's no more death, and there's no more sin, and there's no more hurting, and there's no more problems, and there's nothing to keep the peace from just being perfect peace forever and ever. Oh, in this world you will have tribulations, But Jesus has overcome this world, and heaven's waiting for you thanks to the work of Jesus Christ. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to that promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Peace forevermore. Five levels of peace. And that's the last one. And it's forevermore, to never cease to be at peace. God's good. God bless you. Let us stand and sing a